thing we experience in our world and our country today is that we have basically turned our back not merely on God, but on who we are called to be. And the world is kind of running around trying to figure out what they can do in this world in order to achieve some kind of happiness, some kind of worth, and some kind of value. The thing is, so many people, because of this, have turned their back on God and the church. I think there's a reason for that, because people look at the church as a fiction. Is there promising all kinds of things to those who are faithful? They look at the world and see the problems and the difficulties and come along and say that we have in the church is fictitious writing that speaks but isn't truthful. And so they go looking for truth in other things, whether it's science or whether it's spiritualism or yoga or whatever it is, in order to try to find some understanding of what life is about. I just saw some lady who's been an author for quite a while, and I think her books were well received. I don't know what she wrote about, to be honest with you, but anyway, I think she got some kind of an award, and in accepting it was talking about the Bible being a work of fiction, and basically stating that we have to find the truth somewhere else if we really want to live rightly in this world. I think that because of that, we find more and more people looking at, I don't care what it is, I don't care whether it's a political leadership or religious leadership, as not being the people who will give us the truth. And so they go running off to other things. I think it's just the way the world is right now. It's suffering terribly because what the world is looking for is only to itself. That is, what I want, what I can get, and what I can do or acquire that gives me some worth or some value. And because of that, we don't pay much attention to the church, because the church tends to speak very concrete ways, you know. It tells us that, you know, there are these things that are right and these things that are wrong, these things that are good, these things that are bad. And we are called to pay attention to those things. That's where we'll find our real happiness and understanding of who we are. One of the things that we value in that is that the church comes along and says, basically, this is how it is. This is how it is. You know, there are these good things, there are these bad things. If we want to find our real happiness, we pay attention to the good and avoid the evil. And when we walk in that path, we'll find peace, and we'll find joy, and we'll find happiness. And I think what's going on is that some people have been trying to do that, and they don't find it. They wonder where it is, because they don't see it in church anymore, because they don't come. They don't see it in the church of Jesus Christ, because they don't buy the story. And so they go elsewhere. And one of the things that has been a very important part of our church has been understanding that our Holy Father, the Pope, is the one who truly is there to lead us and to guide us and to give us an understanding of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. With this most recent Pope, Pope Francis, we don't see that. There's been a lot of criticism about him. Some of the things that he has said, some of the things that he has done. People have commented, both religious and secular, have talked about what he is about. And that, I mean, some have even said that he may not even be the real thing, the real Pope, that he's a false Pope. They come with all different kinds of statements. There are those who are in favor of him. There are those who would like to see him gone. And somebody else there who says, here's what it means to be a Catholic Church, and straight out. The reality is that the Church is a living body. And while it is in the world, it's not a mannequin that just sits there and is always the same, but it is something that has continued to grow and mature and understand itself over these thousands of years. The fact that when Christ came, he did not bring a book that said, here, this is the manual, follow this, and everything is. Now, the Church has grown. The Church has matured. There were things that I'm sure that they did in the early Church. If we could go back, we would say, why were they doing that? You know, we probably would have a question about it. Probably if the Church came today, they would say the same thing. Why do they do that stuff, you know? But the thing is that the Church is always growing to come to understand how it is to manifest itself in the world and how we are called to live it in the world. And one of the things that Pope Francis does is he brings these things to the surface, and he invites us to look at ourselves and to see where we are and what we are doing, because things are changing in our world all the time. And we are coming under new things, new understandings. You know, I don't know about UFOs, but, you know, we may one day have some kind of intercourse with aliens from outer space. Who knows? It seems that more and more people are coming. What does that mean for us? And how are we going to look at that? Are we going to look on them as animals? Are we going to look on them as enemies? Are we going to see them as people that we cooperate with or beings that we... Who knows? But we have to understand that we have to open some of those doors and ask questions. We have to come and raise issues that people don't want to raise. Pope Francis has come on board, as somebody said. He comes from a different background. Almost all the popes that we've had have been European. I'm sure if we go back, we'll find that some came from Africa or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, most of them were from around the Mediterranean area. Pope Francis comes from South America. And so South America may have a different way of looking at things and dealing with things. I mean, they, you know, all of South America, they had, coming to the New World, they had to come and deal with the people that already lived there, the Indians and the natives of that area. That demands a different response. So Francis comes along and he looks at the world maybe a little differently, challenging us to ask questions and to raise new ways of looking at things, not because he wants to destroy the church, but because he wants us to understand that we're supposed to be kind of a global village or a global family. And therefore, we have responsibilities to people all over. And it's not just to Europeans. And it's not just to people who are Catholic in a society like ours that function the way we do. There are other countries and other people that function differently. I remember that we one time had a visiting priest while we were in the seminary. I was doing missionary work in Africa. And it was right after the Vatican Council, and he went there. And personally, I believe what he did was really interesting, but Rome was not happy with him. They called him to Rome to tell him he couldn't do what he was doing. But the thing was that he saw the people that he was serving as people that incorporated their world in everything that they did in their beliefs. Now, they had pagan beliefs, obviously. But what he saw is that their world was, in a sense, a religious world. So when he came and talked to them about God and everything, they bought all of that, and they became Christian and Catholics. But they had a hard time with Mass. They had a hard time with Mass because we came and we did what God asked, but it left the world out there. And the people had a hard time with that. And so he began to incorporate the world into the celebration of the Eucharist. They would do other things. In other words, having a breakfast, having lunch, having dinner was all part of their Mass. Milking their goats and their cows was all part of the Mass. Going out when it was time to harvest what they grew or to do some hunting was all part of their celebration. Because that's how they understood the world, that God was a part of everything. And if they really wanted to celebrate God at Mass, they had to celebrate their world. And what was interesting, really, I found, was that when he would come, he knew he was going to be there all day saying Mass. But when he came, the leader of the people had a peace stick. And they would give that to the priest. And he was to give it to someone. That peace stick had to go all around the village and come back to the chief. And when it came back to the chief, he would come to the priest and he would say, "Father, we can have Mass now because we are all at peace with one another." But if it didn't come back to the chief, then it meant that there was a rift somewhere in the community. And the chief would come back with his head bowed and said, "Father, we cannot have Mass today. We are not one." And I thought this was great, but Rome didn't think it was so hot. So he was called back to Rome. But I think in a way, Francis is very much like that priest. He's looking at the world and he's saying, how do we bring the message of Christ to our world? And because he speaks it a little differently than popes in the past, because he's maybe a little more open to what people think or what they say, people don't like it. They want the Pope to say, this is the way it is. Fly straight or get out. And that's the kind of popes that we've had all along. They come along and they say, this is the way it is. And he says things and people question how accurate or true what he is saying is. But I think that's the development of the church. You know, we didn't have all that we have today when Jesus ascended into heaven. We didn't have the Immaculate Conception. We didn't have the Assumption of Mary. We did not have the Vatican. We didn't have the Pope in all his glory. The thing is that it developed. It came to an understanding. And even then, we know that popes had to make certain choices and decisions. Sometimes there's disagreement. You know, there have been popes and anti-popes because they didn't always buy what one or the other said, because they had an understanding. This is how it is. Even at times, there were popes who said, we're in a crisis and Christians are being persecuted, and they leave the church. The persecution ends and the people want to come back to church. So, Pope says, we'll forgive them and allow them to come back. Somebody else, another bishop, might say, no! If they left the church, they're condemned to hell forever and they're not allowed to come back. So there would be differences until they had to sit down and find it. The Pope would have to make a decision, a way of dealing with an issue. This is how the church grew and came to understand. But Pope Francis is a little different. And there are those who just say he's an anti-pope. He's not leading the church. But I haven't read everything. I have practically nothing. But some of the things that he says and that people have taken, they are not clearly speaking what he is talking about. They want to condemn him. And Pope Francis is opening himself up to allow the world to speak to him, not because he wants to conform the church to the world, but that he wants the world to be conformed to the church, so that we can all walk the path. Even though maybe in Africa they will say one of these days Mass differently, or in South America or in Canada or Iraq or some other place or some islands. But the thing is, we have a responsibility, not merely to come along and say, you know, this is the church, and crunch it down on people, and if they don't fit, the hell with them. That's not what the church is supposed to be about. When you hear people criticizing or being angry or upset, and, you know, people have the right to do that, but I think that we need to understand that, in a sense, maybe he's a modern pope, you know, and that we have to be more and more open to the voices in the world, not to diminish the church or to make it less than it is, but in order to understand the world, so that the church can be more for them. I think we are living in very critical times. And we may have to come along and say the way the church is right now doesn't meet the needs of our world, because people are abandoning the church. And maybe we don't have the answers to bring those people right back. Maybe it's not just the way we have been thinking over the last 2,000 years that we have to maintain, but maybe there's something new, a new approach, a new understanding, a new way. Doesn't mean we do away with the Mass. It doesn't mean that we turn it around in some odd way, but rather that we come to understand the Mass in a different way, in a way that some people may not like. You know, I remember when Vatican II was finished, they decided that, you know, the churches were pretty packed, that it was difficult to have Mass on a Sunday with all these people distributing the Eucharist, and they came up with the idea that lay people were going to distribute the Eucharist along with the priests. Originally, that didn't go over real big. because I know when I was growing up, we were not allowed to touch the chalice or the ciborium or the paten with our hands. We always had to have some kind of cloth around because those things held the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And so when we went and served, the pastor would always give us this stuff with a purificator or some kind of cloth around it, to put it on it, because we were never allowed to touch it, never allowed to put our fingerprint on it. And now suddenly, ordinary people who've never gone to school to learn about church and be priests or anything are now going to distribute Holy Communion to the people. And that we're going to put it in our hands. What about all the particles in our hands? We come along and we say, it's okay, because those were just laws for other reasons when they did those in the past. But now we're going to do something different. I remember when I was at a parish as a deacon, and the pastor at the parish said, we're going to get some laymen to, of course it was just men, not women. He said, we're going to get some men to help us on Sunday Mass with the distribution of Eucharist. And he called in four men, four old guys, not young men, old guys. And he called them in, he set them down, and nobody had heard about this yet. But he was talking to them, and, you know, we see you at church, and you do this and do that. Well, I'm going to ask you if you would be willing to help us at Sunday Mass in the distribution of the Eucharist. And they said, what does that mean? And he said, it means that you would be up there taking the host and giving it to the people. They come up, saying the body of Christ. I mean, these guys were awestruck. I think every one of them started crying that they would be given this privilege of distributing the Eucharist. It was unheard of. It was a change. We didn't do that kind of thing. Host was for deacons and priests. It had nothing to do with lay people. And suddenly the church comes along and says, well, we can do this. Pope Francis is not some monster. He is looking for the welfare and well-being of the church and how we can reach out to people. People will criticize him. Maybe there's people who are self-centered and they're looking for glory. I don't know about that. But the thing is that those who criticize on TV or radio or at where you work, but however you hear this stuff, I think God picked Francis to be Pope because he says, this is a difficult time. And there's a time when we have to, if you want to say, reorganize, reconfigure, open ourselves up to how do we bring the message of Christ to the world, not just to us, not just to ourselves. And because it's going to be difficult, there is going to be a breakdown. There are going to be people that won't like it. There are going to be people that say, let's go back. Let's go back to the old Mass, to the Latin, to our little conclaves where we all sit around and get sucked into our world and let the world out there stay there. But that's not what Christ wants. He wants the world in here, where the message of Christ